Do you know what this week is? Have you checked it out yet? Do you know what this week is? Let me be more specific. Do you know what Wednesday of this week is? Do you know? I want you to think about it. Some of you have blank stares on your face like you have no earthly clue what Wednesday of this week is. Well, let me see if I can narrow it down a little bit more. Do you know what October 21st, 2015 is? That is this week. That is this Wednesday. Now, that does anybody have a clue what we're talking about? And some of you still, some of you haven't seen the movie. And if you haven't seen the movie, you don't know what this is about. But 30 years ago, we were told what was going to happen on October 21st, 2015. Leslie, is not what you're thinking, but it is October 21st, 2015. 30 years ago, they told us what was going to happen. Emmett Brown and Marty McFly are going to arrive on Wednesday of this week. They are going to arrive in a flying DeLorean looking for the future. They are going to arrive this... Can you wait? Can you wait to see what they look like after all of these years? But we already know. We already know what the future looks like because we saw this movie 30 years ago. They came into the future and arrived on October 21st, 2015. So here's what we know about October 21st, 2015. Roads, where we're going, we don't need. Anybody know the line? Roads. Thank you for the three people that knew the line. We are on October 21st, 2015. We're going to have flying cars. Are you ready? Forget this automatic steering business. Forget this autopilot business in the cars. Big whoop. In 3 days, we're going to have flying cars. In 3 days, we're going to have auto-adjusting clothing. You remember that part about the movie? Won't that be nice? Be nice for some of those guys who can't seem to pull up their pants. If we have automatic adjusting clothing, you just push a button and the clothing fits properly on the body. But one of the best things, we're going to have the hoverboards. 3 days away from having that little pink hoverboard. Now, if you don't know what a hoverboard is, it's like a skateboard without wheels. But it hovers. A skateboard without wheels is like kindling, I guess. It's just like a stick, isn't it? But in 3 days, it's going to hover because we have seen the future. And in 3 days, we're going to be there. In 3 days, we are going to be in the future with flying cars, with hoverboards. And here was the most amazing thing about the future. The Cubs were going to win the World Series. Now you're getting kind of scared, aren't you? Because the future is getting a little bit more, well, can you believe the Cubs might be in the World Series? Go figure, the future had all sorts of crazy things. But we've been waiting for it. We've known that this day was coming, and we knew exactly what was going to be here when it got here, right? We're 3 days away. Which one of those things do you think is going to be here? Auto-adjusting clothing? Flying cars, hoverboards, Cubs winning the World Series. But in the movie Back to the Future Part 2, that is what they told us was coming. The future. Everybody wants to know what the future looks like. We've been waiting for it, and now we are here ready for it, except it's only a movie. And believe it or not, some of you, this is going to blow your world. Just because it happens in the movie doesn't mean it's real. Just because it happens on TV and in the movies doesn't mean that it's really going to happen. And some of us on Wednesday are going to be disappointed when a flying DeLorean doesn't arrive with two crazy guys in it and we don't have all of that great stuff. But this morning, I want to take you back to the future. But what I want us to do this morning is I want us to go back to the future that God intended for there to be. You see, when you watch a movie about the future, you think, wow, that's what it's going to be like when we get to the future. And who would have known that 30 years later we'd be in the future? But the future doesn't look like the future that was in the movies. But do you know that if we go back to this book, that God tells us about the future? God described for us what the future was to look like. And if we would just go back to the future that God described for us in this book, how much better would our lives be? How much different would the world be if we would just go back to the way that God said it would be? Not the way a movie said it would be. We know that's not going to happen. But go back to the way that God said it would be. I want you to get your Bibles out this morning. We're going to look at a couple passages. We're going to look mainly at some passages in the Old Testament. There are going to be some passages on the screen that correspond in the New Testament. We won't take time to look at every verse that's here, but I invite you to write these things down and investigate them further. But turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. And as we turn to the Bible and as we look at God's future, as we look at the future that God said was coming, we need to know this isn't some kind of movie that's not going to really happen. God said it would happen. And God used a word to guarantee that it was going to happen. Look in Isaiah chapter 40, down in verse 8. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades. Some things don't last. But the word of our God abides forever. In Isaiah 40 and verse 8, God looked into the future. And in looking into the future, God said, there's going to be a lot of things that transpire. It's going to be a lot of things that change. But God says, let me tell you one thing that's not going to change. Let me look down in the future and tell you one thing that's still going to be there in the future. The word of the Lord endures forever. A lot of people over the years have tried to destroy the Bible. A lot of people who have recklessly claimed that that's what they were going to do. There were a lot of people that have said that their life course was to destroy the Word of God. And guess where they are now? They're the ones who are dead. Guess where the Bible is now? It's still here. God looked down the future. God said the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, endures forever. Wherever you go in the future, whether you're in 1985 or whether you're in 2015 or whether in your whatever year that the Lord's going to allow this earth to survive, God says the word of the Lord will be there. And it won't just be there, but it will be identifiable. It's not that it's just going to be, well, where is it? What does it look like? I'm not sure that I can find it. In this verse in Isaiah 40 and verse 8, you might have a footnote in your Bible that notes that this verse is quoted over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23, 24, 25. And you get down to verse 25 and Peter says, this word that abides forever, it's the gospel that you have heard preached. The gospel of God that we have in our Bibles identifies for us the word of the Lord that God said would abide, would be here forever. I don't know what the future holds for you, and I don't know what it holds for me, but I know what it holds for the Word of God. It will be here forever. And as we look at these things this morning, it's not only that the Word of God is perpetual, eternal, not only that it is identifiable, but when people stray away from it, when people try to destroy it, when people try to do away with it, it is restorable. We can go back to the future. We can go back to the Word of God that He said would be here in the future forever. We can go back to it and realize that we have right here in our possession what God said would be here in the future forever. You got that part of it? That part of it kind of introduces the thrust of these first several points. Look in Psalm 33. Tied to the fact that God's Word would abide forever. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 33 and see what else the Bible says would be in the future. Word of God's going to be in the future. Psalm 33, drop down to verse 10. Bible says, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect." Now look in verse 11, Psalm 33, verse 11. "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations." God says, in the Word of God that would be here forever, it says, that not only is His Word going to be here forever, His counsel, His plan, or as we have it on the screen, His purpose. God's purpose, His plan, His counsel, the word that's used here in the New King James, would stand forever. There is no way to thwart. There is no way to change. There is no way to turn the plan or the purpose of God. It stands forever. It is amazing to me that there are individuals who have created an entire doctrine called premillennialism. That the very basis of their doctrine is that God had a plan to establish the kingdom. But man rejected God's plan, and so God did something different and established the church instead. And later on, He'll try to come back and establish His kingdom. They have invented an entire doctrine that defies what Psalm 33 and verse 11 says. Psalm 33 and verse 11 says, "The counsel, the purpose, the plan of God stands forever." God had in mind a plan before He ever created the world. Do you know that God had a plan? He had purposed to send Jesus to die on the cross before there was ever a single sin for Him to die for. God already had that plan. God already had it purposed. You read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. That's what the Bible says, that He was that this was according to His eternal purpose. Before He ever created man, He had a plan. He had a purpose by which He was going to save mankind from their sins. And God's purpose stands forever. And it is a purpose that is identifiable. I can know what God's purpose is. All I've got to do is pick up the book. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, He says, "Understand what the will of the Lord is." That means His will, His purpose, His plan, His counsel is identifiable. It's something that I can know. It's something that I can follow. And if I turn away from it, if I leave it, it is something that I can return to. If people have, as they often do, if they have confused, if they have tried to change what the counsel, the plan, the purpose of God looks like, all we have to do is go back to the future. All we have to do is go back to the future that God intended for His counsel to have, for His plan and His purpose to have, and we can restore it just as He originally intended for it to be. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 117. Another thing that the Bible says, that God says would be in the future. Not like some movie that we don't really know if it's going to be there or not. But look in Psalm 117, where God tells us something else that is going to be there in the future. In Isaiah 40, the Word of God stands forever. In Psalm 33, the counsel, the purpose of God stands forever. Look in this little chapter of Psalm 117 and verse 2. "For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures." How long? Forever. God says, let me tell you about the future. My word is going to be there. It's going to stand forever. Let me tell you about the future. My purpose, my plan will be there, standing forever. God says, let me tell you what the future looks like. The truth of the Lord endures forever. God's truth is not like some truth is today, some wishy-washy truth that somebody has today. God's truth is not relative. It's not subjective. God's truth is not something that changes with the culture. It's not something that ebbs and flows with, well, how does somebody look at it today? God's truth stands and endures forever. It is not only perpetual, it is something that is identifiable. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What did he say we shall know? Jesus did not say, you shall know truth. That's not what that verse says. Jesus did not say, you shall know a truth. That's not what that verse says either. In John 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, you shall know the truth. Well, which one is that? It is the truth of the Lord that abides and endures forever. It's the truth that Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth that abides forever. A lot of people that have tried to change the truth of God. Romans chapter 1 says there are people that have even done so, that they change the truth of God into a lie. The Bible says if we will just go back to the future that God intended, we can find His truth. We go back to His book, we can find the truth that He intended to be here forever. God told us what the future looked like. And we can live in His future today if we'll just go back to what He said it would look like. I did not intend to look at this morning, but I am putting it on the screen just for your benefit. And recognition that when God looked down into the future, He said His word would be there forever. He said His purpose would be there forever. He said His truth would be there forever. And He said His righteousness would be there forever. You know, God's righteousness stands forever. It's not a matter of us deciding what's right. God has already told us what's right and what's wrong. He's already told us what is sin and what is not sin. He's already told us what the fruit of the Spirit is and what the works of the flesh are. And all we've got to do is go back to the future that God described for His righteousness, and we'll know exactly what righteousness is to God. But I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 2 this morning. I want you to see something that God told us what the future would look like. And it's not some movie that, well, you're not really sure if those writers or those producers or those directors, you're not really sure if, you know, they got pretty close with the Cubs, and maybe the Cubs really will win the World Series, and maybe because the movie said that, but it was just a lucky guess if it's true. But if God says something would be forever, is that a lucky guess? If God looked down the future and said, here's what's going to be there in the future, it's true. His word endures forever. His purpose, His truth, His righteousness endures forever. Look in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel interprets a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, the king of Babylon had, and he tells the interpretation of this dream where Nebuchadnezzar had seen a great image, a head of gold that Daniel says, well, that's you, O king, in Babylon, you're the head of gold. And then he saw the chest and arms of silver, and he told him that was the next successive world empire that would come, the Medes and the Persians that would come, and that's what was represented in that image. And then he saw the thighs and the belly that were made of bronze, and he says that's the third empire that would come, and that was representative of the Greeks. Then he gets down to verse 44, and he gets down to the last part of this image where he gets down to the feet. He gets down to the legs of iron and the feet that are made of iron and partly of clay. And he says in verse 44 of Daniel chapter 2, in the days of these kings, not Babylon, God is telling Nebuchadnezzar the future. He tells Nebuchadnezzar the future. He says, you're the king of Babylon, but Babylon's not going to be the world empire forever. Then there's going to come the Medes and the Persians. He's telling the future. Then he says, then's going to come the Greeks. He's telling the future. Well, what world empire came after the Greeks? What world empire conquered the Greeks? It was the Romans. God's telling the future. And when God looks down the future in Daniel 2 and verse 44, he says, in the days of this fourth world empire, in the days of these kings, the Roman Empire, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. God's telling you the future. God says in the days of the Roman kings, there is going to be a kingdom that is set up by the God of heaven that shall never be destroyed. That kingdom, he says, shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms. And then look at what the last few words of verse 44 say. And it shall stand forever. Same word forever for his word. Same word forever for his purpose. Same word forever for his truth. Same word forever for his righteousness is now used. Same word forever for his kingdom. In the future, from Daniel, the Bible says that God would set up a kingdom in the days of the Roman kings that would stand forever. Nothing would be able to destroy it. So if we were to look into God's future, today, His word is still here. Today, His purpose is still abiding. Today, His truth and His righteousness still endure. Then what else must be here today? What else must be abiding today? What else must be abiding for the rest of the future of the world but His kingdom? Well, what is His kingdom? Jesus came on the scene preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist came before that preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus sent his disciples out preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn your Bible to the passage that was read this morning in Matthew chapter 16. And as we think about this last point this morning, as we think about this kingdom, that God looked to the future to say it's coming. It'll never be destroyed and it will stand forever. What is His kingdom? When you look in Matthew chapter 16, the latter part of, or down in verse 19, you read about His kingdom. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, Jesus said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. God had said hundreds of years before, that kingdom is coming. Jesus comes on the scene and says, that kingdom is here. And now Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you the keys to that kingdom. Jesus, what is the kingdom? What does verse 18 say? Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus, what's the kingdom? It's the very thing I'm going to give you the keys to enter. It's the very thing that I am building. It is my church. When you come to your New Testament, God talks about His kingdom and God talks about His church. Jesus talks about the kingdom and the church and uses it to say it's the same thing. So if you take that word church and you apply it to God's vision of the future back in Daniel chapter 2, He says in the days of the Roman kings, the God of heaven will set up a church which shall never be destroyed. It shall stand forever. Well, here we are in the future. Here we are in the future. What should be here today? It should be His church. Isn't that what verse 18 says? What does the end of verse 18 say? The end of verse 18 says the same thing Daniel 2 and verse 44 said. Daniel 2, 44 said, not destroyed, stand forever. What does the end of verse 18 say? The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Nothing shall be able to destroy His church. So when Jesus died upon that cross, Jesus purchased His church. And that church that God saw in the future must still be here today And as with everything else that God saw in the future, it is identifiable. Are you a part of the church that God saw in the future? Are you a part of the church that God said was going to be established? Are you a part of the church that God put on this earth? God gave us a way to identify it. God told us that if we wanted to go back to the future that God intended for His church, that we would be able to identify His church, to identify it as the church that was established in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus in Acts chapter 2. Is that the church that you are a part of? God said that His church would have one head, not many heads and not an earthly head. The Bible says that His church would have one head, and it would be Jesus Himself, and that church would wear the name of its head, that church would wear the name of its owner, the one who purchased the church with His own blood. Does your church have one head in Christ? Does your church wear the name of its head? Does it wear the name of its owner? When God looked down through time and He saw His church, He said about His church that it would be a church that would be one that would follow only one law. It would follow only one creed, not a human creed, not a human law, not human commandments, but it would only follow the New Testament. It wouldn't be involved in following the New Testament and some other doctrine, some other creed book, some other manual, some other discipline, but it would follow only the New Testament. Colossians 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all by the authority. Here's our standard. Here's our authority. Here's our law. Are you a part of a church? You're a part of the church that only follows what the New Testament teaches. When God looked down through time, when God looked to the future and He saw His kingdom and saw His church, He said, here's how you can identify it. This church is a church that worships on Sunday. That's the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the day that the church gathers together to worship. And the church, when it comes together, God looked in the future in Ephesians 5:19, saw His church as singing as a congregation, singing to one another. When He looked into the future, God saw a church, His church, that would partake of the Lord's Supper, would commune with their Savior every first day of the week. That's the church that God saw in His future. Are you a part of the church that God describes in the Bible? The church that worships on Sunday and worships in congregational singing and worships with the Lord's Supper every week? Are you a part of that church that is overseen by elders? When God looked down through time and He looked into the future, He said, here's My church that will be here forever. And He said, My church will be overseen by a plurality of men called shepherds, called overseers, called elders. And He looked down through time and He saw His church down in the future. And He said, My church will teach and preach that immersion into water is absolutely essential for salvation from sins. Not because that church made that up. Not because some man made that up and he's just been perpetuating his own doctrine. But because Jesus said, He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Because on the very first day that the church was established in Acts 2, that was the command for entrance into the kingdom. In Acts 2 and verse 38, they were told, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There's the authority for the remission of sins. There's the purpose. And God looked down into the future. And God said, forever My church will be on this earth. And He said, forever this is what will identify my church. Are you a part of His church? You know the beauty of having the word of the Lord that endures forever. The beauty of having the truth of the Lord that endures forever is that we can be a part of the church that endures forever. In Hebrews 12 and verse 23, the Bible says that those who are part of God's kingdom, those who are part of His church, have been registered in heaven. And the day will come, and in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24, when the end comes, that Jesus will deliver His church, will deliver His kingdom unto the Father. Are you a part of that church? You know, the beauty of everything that God designed for His future is that if man will go back to the future that God intended for His church, man, if he cannot find and identify the church that is described in this book, can restore the church that is described in this book the very same way that it existed when it was established in Acts chapter 2. Because God has given us a pattern. He has shown us that it's the gospel. It's the gospel that creates disciples. The pure and undefiled gospel without addition or subtraction that creates disciples. When disciples are created, the Bible says, those disciples together make up the church. Read Acts 14, verses 21 through 23, and you will see the gospel and the disciples and the church all tied together. You know, that movie had some interesting things to think about in the future. And now that we are in the future, we look back at that movie and we think, well, you know, in reality, it was just a silly movie. But when we are here today in 2015, we are in the future that God had described. And when we look back at God's Word, it's not just some silly thing that God had in mind. God purchased His church, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus died upon that cross so that you could be saved from your sins. He shed His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He shed His blood so that you could be saved from your sins. And at the moment you are saved from your sins, God adds you to His church. You see, His plan of salvation, just like all of God's truth, His plan of salvation endures forever. And His plan of salvation is something that we need to pay attention to, where He calls upon individuals to believe that Jesus is the Son of God if they want to be saved from their sins. Calls upon individuals to repent. Turn away from sin. You can't be saved from sin if you're not willing to turn away from the sin. To confess your faith, not confess your sin, but confess the faith that you have in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to submit to God's eternal purpose. To submit to God's plan. To be baptized into Christ. Immersed into water. In order that the blood of Jesus at that very moment might wash away your sins. In order that the God of heaven at that very moment might add you to His church that He saw before you ever created the world. And in order that the God of heaven might pick up the book of life and write your name in that book. Have you ever done what God intended for you to do in order to be saved from your sins? If you've done that, the Bible says God calls upon us to live that faithful life that He intends all of His children to live in the New Testament. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you a faithful Christian this morning? Is there anything that this church can do to help you by being immersed this morning? There's water here, garments here. Church is ready to encourage you in any way that it can. If you'll come right now as together we stand and sing.